You must figure I'm a real dangerous man.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag.
You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it across.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
Well, you think that you can- take me on, you must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
Just how far are you willing to be pushed? When are we gonna put our collective foot down and tell the tyrant, get off of my back? Hi, I'm Cope Reynolds, and if you're tired of the same old sugar-coated mush-mouth monologue of talk radio, join me for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central. Guns, self-defense, survival, current events are just a few of the topics that we'll discuss on The Shooting Bench, and we're going to start discussing them right now.
Have you forgotten?
All right, here we go. I finally made it. Welcome to The Shooting Bench. It's the 29th of April. Month just about gone. It's the fourth month of this year already, and it's already gone. And it's a Wednesday, and as usual, I'm screaming in. You know, I'm going to change the schedule. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to Amy probably tonight, and I'm going to figure out whether I want to start Wednesday nights 30 minutes later, or do the whole week an hour later or something. But I'm getting tired of coming in here late on Wednesdays. I'm cheating my Boy Scouts out of some time and cheating you guys out of some time and rushing around here like a cat covering up poop on a marble floor, and it's not working out well for anybody. So I'm going to figure out something. We're going to change the schedule. Next Wednesday, I will let you know tomorrow what we're going to do. And next Wednesday, it's going to be a little bit different, one way or the other. So while we're on the subject, what would you guys like to see? Should we keep everything at the same schedule? Now, you got to understand, since Arizona doesn't change times, it's kind of a train wreck for us. Because I have to keep my time. I don't have to, but I do. Hey, Concretin. I try to keep my times consistent with what Central Time is, what it's supposed to be, which is 8 o'clock Pacific Time. So this time of year, since my time does not change, I'm at the same as Pacific Time. During Standard Time, in the winters, when the time changes again, my time still says 8 o'clock. But it's actually, my time says 9 o'clock. I'm on from 9 to 10. My time, that time of year, 8 to 9 Pacific time this time of year. So, I don't know. I'm going to have to try to figure out something, but I either do the whole cotton picking thing an hour later, and I just have to run with it for 6 months, and then, well, only 5 months now, I guess. And then I'll have to make a change. I'll have to change every 6 months. I don't know. But maybe only a half hour later on Wednesdays. I'll talk to Amy and see what would work better for us to, you know, as far as having dinner and doing everything else, I don't know. But I'll figure it out one way. Cowboy's with us tonight. Long time no see, my friend. Glad you made it in here. So, anyway, you know, things are, once again, and maybe I should say still, are escalating. They're going fast. Maybe accelerating is the right word. They're going faster. And thank you, LB Sand. I think that's good advice there, keeping the, I don't want to cheat the scouts out of their time. So I will either start them 30 minutes earlier, or I'll start 30 minutes later, or we'll figure out something to buy me some time so you guys are not sitting here wondering if I'm going to make it or not and all of that. So that's not right either. So, We're looking today. I'm getting calls from several places around the country, and you guys see it in your email deals and Facebook and whatever else, you know, Google Plus, whatever you do, if anything. We're seeing a tremendous increase in military air traffic all over the country, and there's nothing secret about it. I mean, there's no use, you know, trying to be secretive. They're not. You know what, De Tinker, that might be an answer too. That's a good idea. So, I don't know what's going on with this. Of course, everything that you say, everything that you do, everybody that you ask, everybody's going to say, well, we're just training. You know, it's what we do, this time of year. We train, you know, and we're doing this, we're doing that. And I'm okay with that because I've tried hard through this whole Jade Helm thing. And, you know, we've been seeing, posts on Facebook for years. Oh my goodness, I saw this train full of Bradleys and MRAPs and this, that, and the other, going on, you know, going this way on the train tracks here. And usually it's okay, we're going to, they're going to Fort Irwin for training. They're going to wherever. They're going to a depot for repairs. There's always some reason and some place that they're at that seems logical to me. But, you know, folks, right now, there's nothing logical about the movements that we're seeing. We're seeing huge trains completely full of track vehicles and trucks and whatnot, going in directions into places where there are not military bases, there are not military depots. And I still, you know, I can't say what they're doing, but I sure can't say what they're not doing either. This Walmart thing has turned out to be a train wreck. I tried to justify that in several ways, and it's just not adding up, guys. It's not adding up at all. It is absolutely confirmed that there are military vehicles parked behind. I think it's the one in Midland, Texas. If Minnie Minpin's in there, she might be able to confirm that for us. I don't know if she's with us tonight. I haven't looked at the chat room thing. Yeah, Minnie's in there. She just got here a few minutes ago. Who else? We got Catapon's in there. Good to see you. Haven't seen you for a while. And a bunch of our regulars. Palm Bay, that's good to see you too. Got one anonymous in there. So, I don't know what's going on here, but something is, something seems to be up. And they say that it seems to be pretty verifiable, pretty well documented that DHS seems to have taken these Walmarts over. And various descriptions of why that has happened. You know, some say it's the computer, the distribution center. I heard also yesterday that DHS have taken over three floors of the Walmart center in wherever they're at in Arkansas. And I haven't confirmed that. I don't know it to be true. It came from a good, reputable source, but you know how that goes. So, I don't know. But, there, Bright Angel says, Southern Nevada, lots of new low-flying stuff. You know, it's everywhere, Bright Angel, it's everywhere. I'm getting these calls from Utah and Montana and Washington, Colorado, New Mexico. And I saw some here today that you don't normally see. Had a guy, now the guy that called me, you gotta understand, is I can't tell you too much about him because of his job, but he is, shall we say, exceedingly reputable. He is as good as gold. He is, if he tells me that he has seen these things, if he feels that there's a need for it to call and alert me about this, then there's something up. There was, we saw two attack helicopters in here today, and that's not totally unusual. Every once in a great while, we see one in here. And there's a contract at the airport up here to refuel these. But it's the next two that we saw that were a little different. They were flying together, not real close, but they went over within, you know, they were 5 seconds or 5, 6, 7 seconds apart. There was a UH-1 that was solid black. And there was a Cobra that was all gray. And the gray seemed to be about the shade of Marine helicopters. But the guy that's telling me this looked at them through some pretty high-speed optics, and he said there was not a single mark of any description on either one of those birds. They'd either been painted over or removed or whatever. And so I found that to be just a little bit odd. Why is a Cobra and a Huey flying together, and why are they different colors, and why are neither one of them marked? Sounds a little strange. But it's not just here, and it's not just me. I've got people telling me from all over the place that these same things are happening. Minnie says that the Walmart is closed, but the pharmacy and the Vision Center are still open. That's odd. The only thing I could say is that the Vision Center for sure is a private contractor, so I don't know why they, like I say, if it was plumbing, do they not use any water, bathrooms, or whatever? Or have they put porta potties out front for them or something like that? Seems a little strange. But I don't know. That's interesting that they left the pharmacy and the Vision Center open. That's very, very interesting. So anyway, let's Eddie Crump. See that I'm getting that same thing that you're saying. There's lots of military movement on I-5. You know, there's a lot of stuff going through Salt Lake City right now. And, you know, trains, and he's the guy that's telling me about this has sent me videos numerous times, and they're seeing these things day after day. Very strange. Northwest Heavy, okay. That's interesting there, Northwest Heavy, that you should bring that up, because we're going to talk about that just a little bit again. There are some interesting developments here on the situation going on in Oregon. And it looks like that they have got some military, contractors coming in to, I had a story saved up here for that. What did I do with it? Well, I'll find it here in a minute. But anyway, they've got contractors coming in to this deal in Oregon, to that gold mine dispute that's going on. So if that's the case, we have a wee bit of a concern there. And that is that yeah, they're doing something, and they're kind of putting their resources up front and saying that if anything happens, we are not going to be backed off again. And I believe that. I can't believe that they would allow themselves to be run off the job again like they were at Bundy Ranch. So they
trying to find that cotton picking story here. Give me just a second and see if I can pull that up here for you. Maybe that'll do it. Well, here's, this is not the, not the one I was looking for, but it'll do. This is a brand new story, and this comes from the tacticalpoop.com, and they've usually got some pretty reputable stuff. I have no reason not to believe them, but the Oath Keepers there in this story claim that the BLM is escalating and using contractors in Oregon. This is not the story that I saw earlier, but that could cause a story. And I'm just going to read you this first paragraph here. It's kind of long, but I'm going to tell you what Oath Keepers says about this. It says, urgent, the security personnel at Sugar Pine Mine in Merlin, Oregon, have gone from being armed guardians of the miners' Fifth Amendment rights to one defensive in nature. The reason for this, as it appears that the BLM has taken steps to escalate the situation. Currently, there are surveillance teams openly watching the command center. Sources have revealed, and it has been confirmed, that private armed security forces were brought in to Grants Pass by the BLM. These are private contractors and not law enforcement. That is an important distinction to make. Oath Keepers has not escalated any activity, so the question must be asked, if the BLM did not intend to use these resources, why are they here? This represents a significant escalation on the part of the BLM. They have taken the situation from one of peaceful resistance to one potentially volatile in nature. So, I don't know what's going on there. Northwest Heavy, we are doing the same. We're getting, the Tinker, I think that is the one I was looking for there, the Locked and Loaded News. Now, I don't know what the, reputable these guys are. From the things that I've seen, they've all seemed to have pretty good information. But it seems that I don't know. I stood and talked to two guys tonight for a good while before scouts and stuff. And there's a lot of concern. Hang on just a minute. I'm getting a message as we speak right now from Nevada. Give me 1 second to answer this. Let's see. Sorry, I'm doing this while I'm on the air, but this is important. So, I know it's quiet, and I don't like quiet time on my show, but there we go. Okay. Yakima Glock, I don't know if they sell tactical poop at the gun store. We'll have to check and see, but anyway. All right, well, let's look at a couple other things here. Let's get off of this for a minute. It's very concerning. We have a lot to be concerned about here, but we got other things we need to check, too. Unrelated, coming out of Missouri, I got a few things I'm just going to touch on kind of briefly here. The Missouri Senate has overridden the governor's veto of a pro-gun bill. It expands their open carry and guns in schools. It's SB 656, and they have thrown this right back at Governor Nixon's, throwing it back in his face here. The vote by the state Senate was one-sided, 23-8, pretty much along party lines. And what this bill does, first, it prevents local municipalities from passing any laws banning open carry. That's not quite as good as a state preemption law, but it's a step in the right direction. This is, they call it essentially a state preemption law, except the way I read it, it only applies to open carry. But they say it does make open carry legal throughout the state. This is Missouri now. Now, if you might have noticed that Baltimore and Ferguson were in that neck of the woods, for whatever that's worth. Several cities had recently voted to ban open carry within their limits. This bill will make their votes a moot point. Secondly, the bill lowers the age to obtain a permit to carry from 21 to 19. Very nice. Finally, the bill will allow specially trained school employees to carry guns while on the job in order to protect students from violent crime. Very nice. The bill would require the state to establish training guidelines for these employees. Governor Nixon has regularly and consistently vetoed legislation that would expand the rights of Missouri's gun owners. So finally, the legislators there have gotten together, and there's enough of them thinking right-sidedly that they've swept him under the rug. That's very good. And Mountain Shooter, you know, there is sanity in the United States, but it is rare. It is very, very scarce. But we're seeing so many things going on right now in a lot of states where, you know, there's been vetoes and laws overturned and you know, pro-gun stuff, quite a few. And it's surprising that it's happening at this point in history with so many other things going so 180 degrees out and away from us here. there's that's a different story. Oh, I have a story here with a happy ending. A couple of them, as a matter of fact. This one is cute. This was in Australia, and we have some protesters wading through the water trying to save some of the ducks that's been knocked out of the air. And she was accidentally shot in the face. Don't you hate it? But this was back in March of 2011. That's funny that this story just came out 4 days ago. But these anti-hunters decided they'd interfere with a duck hunt. And there was a 14-year-old that I guess they were wading through some high stuff. And apparently he didn't see them. Or not. But a low-flying duck come in, and he shot at it. And then several of these shotgun pellets struck that woman right in the face. She got hit with at least 7 shotgun pellets. And, of course, you know she's being heralded as a hero with the anti-duck people there, anti-duck hunting people. But, said there's about 150 protesters with the Coalition Against Duck Hunting out to interfere with legal duck hunt and rescue shot ducks. Now, I wonder who's going to pay for all the surgery and everything for the few that may survive or still be alive when they got them. The woman who was shot was wading in waist-deep water at the time of the accident. No charges were filed. Ha! I love it when a plan comes together. In East Texas, we've had a homeowner there shot a would-be robber. This was in Cherokee County, Texas. Matter of fact, I think this is the same story that Mini Men Pen put up last night. But anyway, I just got this in today. This was Monday morning, 3:30 in the morning. They got a call, 911, from a homeowner. Caller stated that someone trying to break into their home, her husband shot at him near the back doorway. She said her husband ran after one person through the pasture behind their home. Now, let me stop right there for a minute. That is bad business. That was a poor decision. That was an act of anger, emotion that should not have taken place for a couple of reasons. I understand it's our normal inclination here to want to do that because we're angry. And in many places, depending on what happened, it may be legal to pursue a fleeing felon. or to shoot a fleeing felon. But let's assume, okay, if it's legal in that area, okay, it's all right. It's legal to go do it. If it's not legal, and depending on whether there's Castle Doctrine or stand your ground laws there, what are the possibilities of, what are the liability concerns there for chasing somebody down? But more importantly than that, the common sense thing to do here is to, apparently from the phone call, it didn't say anything about any kids. It was a man and woman home by themselves. The woman's on the phone. The man chases after one or more guys. Now, is it possible that one or more guys were still left behind, maybe in a getaway car or maybe as backup in the backyard? He's run off and left his wife. I'm sure he didn't lock the door behind him. So he's left his wife on the phone with 911 while he goes and chases the bad guy. So that was a very, very poor decision on his part. But be that as it may, when the deputies got there, the homeowner had returned to the house and had apparently been hit and knocked unconscious for a short period of time by one of the criminals. It's believed that the homeowner did wound at least one of them, and there had been at least two suspects outside the home. So they don't know how many for sure, but he chased one of them and left his wife alone at the house. Not cool. Homeowner was treated at local hospital. Okay, rest of this doesn't matter. But they say there's very few leads to the incident. They don't know if they're going to have any luck catching them or not. But anyway, so if I would have gotten here on time, we would have had a little break somewhere around 8:30. Since I didn't get here on time, we're going to take a little break right now so I can see if I can catch my breath here. I didn't have time to put on a new set of deals right here, so we're going to have to listen to the same one we did yesterday. Sorry about now. I'll slip one more in here just for the heck of it. All right, I'll be back in a little while. Hang in there. We'll run a little late tonight because I was late anyway, so I'll make up for it.
Tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
She's back. Miss Amy is back with an all-new Living Way Out Here on the Survival Circle Network. Join Amy for an uplifting hour of fun on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday evenings at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle.
Or from Party Leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history? your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life, and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late.
That's what I like to see. Bullseyes every time. And you can do the same thing with Byard Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byard Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byard Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByardBarrels.com. That's BYERBarrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Bench, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good. An earful of liberty.
What is it the gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear and peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of pens and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God!
Listen to Kit Lang on the Patrick Henry Society every Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
Never sounded so good.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
Okay. Have you guys, you've probably seen this on TV. This is the most absurd thing. You see the new Budweiser commercial or the Bud Light commercial? They've accused them of promoting the rape culture with their new slogan. And of course, they've jumped out there and taken it down. No telling how many, tens of thousands of dollars they spent, hundreds of thousands, maybe, I don't have any idea, on creating this ad and getting it out there and buying the time for it, putting it on TV. That stuff ain't cheap. I'm sure they've spent hundreds of thousands, maybe millions. Hell, I don't know. But it says the slogan there is hashtag up for whatever. It says the perfect beer for removing no from your vocabulary for the night. And it says up for whatever on there. And just right away, quick, the people that don't have anything better to do that think about stuff like this jumped on them and said they're promoting the rape culture. I didn't know there was a rape culture, to tell you the truth. But they say this is its second year in circulation here. Says it's inspired millions of consumers to engage in our brand in a positive and lighthearted way. Said, in this spirit, we created more than 140 different scroll messages intended to encourage spontaneous fun. It's clear that this message missed the mark, and we regret it. You know, don't regret it. You should regret that you have stupid people out there that have nothing better to do but to pester people and get involved in their business. The vice president of Bud Light said the company would never condone disrespectful or irresponsible behavior. And I don't think for a minute, it takes a special kind of idiot to think about stuff like this. I would have never, in 100 years, I would have never thought about it. It may have come up, sometime in the beer joint, you know how it is. Up for whatever, huh? Okay, yeah, I got you. But, it would have been a special environment and a certain time that, certain things would have had to have been said at the right time to make somebody think about that. I wouldn't sit around all night long in front of the TV saying, I wonder what we can get them for on this. There's got to be some kind of something we can sue them over or something like that. Well, somebody did. They sat up there and said, hey, I got it. You know what that means? By removing the no from your vocabulary, you know what that means? It means that if some guy asks a girl out, to come home with him, they're not going to have the ability to say no because they're going to be been drinking too much Bud Light. Okay, dude, I'm up for whatever. How stupid is that? These people are pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. And I don't mean Bud Light. It's not their fault. Oh, jeez. We're doomed. I just don't know. I don't know whether to... What in the heck to do here? There's a couple of school-related deals here. And I think that parents, I know parents, are starting to realize what's going on. And parents are starting to stand up, I think, more so now than they have for a while. Even when I was younger... parents a lot of times just took it as, this is what the school said. This is what they're, of course, schools weren't doing the same things they were doing then either. So that has a lot to do with it. But, there's a, Pennsylvania dad. He, wrote a note to their school principal after he said a trip that he took with his 9-year-old twins to see the Boston Marathon was recorded as unexcused. You know, when I send a note with my kids in after when they miss a day of school, I don't tell them anything where we were. I tell them they were with me, and that's all you need to know. It doesn't matter what we were doing, where we went, how much money we spent, what we saw, how we traveled, or anything. What matters is that they had my permission to be out of school, and that's the only thing that you need to know. So that's all I put on the note is that... whoever it was missed yesterday at school, they were with me. And that's it. That's all I want you to know. There's something going on outside my door here. I don't know what it is. But this guy said he wrote a real name. Now, let me read you the letter that that the principal wrote to him. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Rossi, I understand that your family recently took a family vacation. I want you to be aware that the Abingdon School District does not recognize family trips as an excused absence, regardless of the activities involved in the trip. The school district is not in the position of overseeing family vacations or evaluating the educational nature of a family trip. The dates that your children were absent were recorded as unexcused. An accumulation of unexcused absences can result in a referral to our attendance officer and a subsequent notice to a violation of the compulsory school attendance law. Please contact me if you have any questions. Honey, I want to let you know I am damn sure going to contact you. Yeah, right away quick. And you know what? I'm going to read his letter in just a second, but there is something going on right outside my door, and I'm going to go check it out, and I'll be right back. I'm back. I don't know what was going on out there. I don't know if coyotes run off with a cat. You know, I killed a coyote on the way to Scouts tonight. We have a couple of young girls here, Kelly's friends, next door. I say next door, they're 1,000 yards away, but needed a ride to church, so I took them, and it was still pretty daylight. And we're coming down the hill, and then it says, there's a coyote. And the other one says, I hate coyotes. They killed my dogs. I stopped, backed up, got my little 44 Magnum off the, got an overhead gun rack in there. And I pulled that thing off there and whacked him out there at about 100, 125 yards. And that 240 grain hollow point hit him out there at about 1,600 feet a second or whatever it was. He was disinclined to continue his trip. Anyway, the dad's letter here, he took issue with it, as well he should have, and he wrote this letter back. Dear Madam Principal, while I appreciate your concern for our children's education, I can promise you they learned as much in 5 days we were in Boston as they would have in an entire year in school. Our children had a once-in-a-lifetime experience, one that cannot be duplicated in a classroom or read in a book. In the 3 days of school that they missed, which consisted of standardized testing that they could take any time, they learned about dedication, commitment, love, perseverance, overcoming adversity, civic pride, patriotism, American history, culinary arts, and physical education. They watched their father overcome injury, bad weather, the death of a loved one, and many other obstacles to achieve an important personal goal. They also experienced firsthand the love and support of thousands of others cheering on people with a common goal. At the marathon, they watched blind runners with prosthetic limbs and debilitating diseases, and people running to raise money for great causes, running the most prestigious and historic marathon in the world. They also paid tributes to the victims of a senseless act of terrorism and learned that no matter what evil may occur, terrorists cannot deter the American spirit. These are things that you won't ever truly learn in a classroom. In addition, our children walked the Freedom Trail, visited the site of the Boston Tea Party, the Boston Massacre, and the graves of several signers of the Declaration of Independence. These are things they will learn in school in a year or more from now, so in actuality, our children are ahead of the game. They also visited an aquarium, sampled great cuisine, spent many hours of physical activity walking and swimming. We appreciate the efforts of the wonderful teacher and staff and cherish the education they are receiving at Rydell Elementary School. We truly love our school, but I wouldn't hesitate to pull them out of school again for an experience like the one they just had this past week. Thank you for your time. He was on the Today Show and said that his kids rarely miss school. He said they're just never out. The plan was always to bring them with me and do this trip as a family. The school has known unofficially about it since fall. The teachers have discussed it, so it hasn't been a secret. Says he's scheduled to meet with the school principal Wednesday, but at the time that this went out, wasn't clear what happened then. So, and homeschooling is the way to go. You know, it's awfully hard for some people, and I understand why. You know, some folks, especially single parents, it's awfully tough to hold down a job and teach kids. It, depending on your job and everything, you know, you can probably do it if you want to bad enough, but it's pretty tough. And even married couples, you know, there are some circumstances and some places where you live, certain things that may have happened, you know, prior to having kids as far as bills go and stuff. You know, there's just, it may just not be possible or certainly not practical. But I think if you really want to and if you try hard enough that you can figure out a way to homeschool the kids. You know, you may not be able to do it year after year, but you know, if you could do the first 3 or 4 years, it would sure help if you can, you know, get that foundation laid there for them and then turn them loose. And you know, certainly you'd rather do it till, you know, I think up through sixth grade anyway. And then once you've got a good solid foundation built, then it's probably a little less risky to turn them loose, you know, seventh or eighth grade, somewhere in there. But the other thing is, by the time you do that, we homeschooled for first 3 years, I believe, and then picked it up again. Later, Amy helped me with it while we were over in Luna and did a wonderful job. So they were homeschooled probably a total of at least four years, or about 4 years. And when they went to school after that first bout, my ex's aunt, I believe it was a school teacher. They're a superintendent or principal or whatever. You think she's a principal. And she was unimpressed that we were homeschooling. And so when things got to a point where it wasn't feasible for us anymore to do that, we let them go into public school. And she said, well, you know, we'll do this and put them here and start this program, one thing another, and get them caught up. Well, fact was, when they went, and I don't remember, I think it was probably third grade or somewhere in the middle of third grade that they went to public school there. Little school, you know, the whole first to sixth grade, they're probably not 100 kids there. So that made it better. And I do know that they say the pledge every day. It's New Mexico state law. And I know that I've been in there when they were playing God Bless America over the intercom. So it's not like they were in some commie school in Massachusetts or somewhere. But nevertheless, I wish we could have kept homeschooling them. But when they did go, they immediately found out that they were ahead of the class that they were supposed to be in. And that's typically the case if the parents will do their job. I've also seen a couple of them that the kids were homeschooled and they were allowed to, you know, they missed whenever, in fact, there was one in Luna. And that guy was dumber than a sack full of hammers. Didn't know anything about the Constitution, had no idea what the Second Amendment said. You know, he knew how to write, barely. And it was just a shame that he was allowed to work and do other things and not get nearly the schooling that he should have had. So I've seen it both ways, but by and large, the people that are homeschooled are substantially ahead of their class if the parents have done what they were supposed to do. The parents or the private school or wherever, you know, wherever they went to school. So anyway, I see Partisan Gorilla just joined us. Grabs it. Do I know you? Are you, I don't know where you came from. I've seen you here a couple of times and we're certainly glad to have you with us. I'm just wondering if you're, somebody that I know or should know or whether you're from this state or what the heck. But, anyway. Okay. Well, we're just about to the time that I was used up the amount of time that I was late here. Let's see. B2 Basic, we put them in when the oldest was 7th grade, pulled them out at the beginning of 10th, nothing but trouble. Doing unschool, homeschool, yeah. Reading, writing, and math. Being patriots, Constitution, there you go. That's, and you know, and homeschooling is not that hard. I'll tell you what, for those of you that have young kids and you're considering it, let me tell you, check your state laws. There are some states that's really pushing hard against this homeschooling. And I saw where California's now is getting rid of their opt-out program of immunizations. That's going to cause an issue. And I don't know where that stands right now. But I just saw that here a few days ago. But check your laws and stuff. But on the average, you can homeschool your kids 3 hours a day. If it just the schooling alone, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, and you'll stay caught up. You'll stay ahead. If you did 4 or 5 hours a day for 4 days, your kids could have 3 days weekends every week and still be ahead of the game, of their class. So there you go. Partisan Grilly said you've been in a few times. I don't know what you've been in. You talking about when I had the shop there in Sholo, maybe, that you came in? Maybe I would know you if I saw you. But anyway, the schedule here is going to change a little bit since you've brought it up there, Partisan. Wednesday nights is difficult for me because of Boy Scouts. So I'm guessing after I talk to Amy, tomorrow I will have a hard decision on this as to what I'm going to do on Wednesday nights. I may move the entire show up an hour, and I may just do 30 minutes later on Wednesdays. But I have to do something. I don't want to cheat my Boy Scouts out of time, and I don't want to cheat you guys out of time. I don't like to be late. So something's going to have to change at least on Wednesday night, so I don't know what it's going to be yet. But I will announce that officially tomorrow night, and by next Wednesday, the new schedule will take effect. I want to say something real quick for those of you that have been considering or thinking about joining militias or just looking into it and exploring it a little bit. You know, it's hard. It's hard to make that decision. And when you do, there's something that you need to understand for the average militia out there. If it is truly a militia, it is by its very nature a paramilitary organization. And in order to do that and be successful, you have a chain of command that need to be followed. You train and you practice and you do things. You basically do what you're told. And that it is run like a good one is run like a paramilitary organization. And if you're not willing to do that, then probably what you need to do is look for a prepper group or a survival group or something that gets together and are in it strictly for the defense of that little group, and leave the militia to those that are dedicated, real 3%ers. Now, I see some guys putting 3% on their deal up there, okay? And I know those guys, and I know that they truly mean it. But I'm gonna tell you what. Don't be throwing that 3% thing around like it's like a cheap toy. Mike Vanderbo is the one that came up with the 3%er movement, and it is real and serious, and it is not just a cheap moniker that you go out and throw around and say, "Oh yeah, I'm a 3%er." Well, if you're not, then shut up. Don't say you are if you're not. This is a very, very serious thing. And it's almost like I probably hesitate to say this, but it's almost like a stolen valor type deal with the military. I won't spend any more time on that, but if you're not, don't say you are, okay? It's that simple. There's a lot of stuff going on right now about militias, and it's gonna get worse. There's gonna be a lot more bad mouthing of militias here in the very near future. There's going to be a lot more effort from the opposition, from the tyrant, to discredit militias. And if you can't stand the heat, stay out of the kitchen. You know what I mean? It's going to get tough. And if you're not able to. Yeah, Eddie Crump, I know you would, buddy. If you're not able to stand up and be an actual 3%er as defined by Mike Vanderbo, then don't say that you are. There's nothing wrong with being a prepper or a survivaler. Nothing wrong with it at all. There is something wrong with pretending to be something that you're not. So, there you have it. There's my little rant for the night. I've always tried to dig up a rant of some kind. I thought I was going to make it through the night without one, but evidently that wasn't in the cards. All right, I'm out of here. I'll see you guys tomorrow night. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks for joining us for another edition of The Shooting Bench. Please join COPE Monday through Friday for the most politically incorrect firearms information show on talk radio.
Lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for you to decide who you are. Somebody should call them. Somebody should write a letter. Somebody should try and stop that. Somebody should do something. I challenge you to look in the mirror and tell me what you see. If there's somebody there, that would be you. It's time for you to do something. There is no doubt that the Constitution is hanging by a thread. It's not going to wait for us much longer.